Things are going very well. We've built a strong organization throughout the district. As you know, the district is 86 cities and towns from Sturbridge all the way to Stockbridge. And we have built a strong organization that's going to allow us to interact with voters in each and every one of those 86 cities and towns. Enormous.
How has your reception been out in Springfield, in areas that you weren't previously as close to?
Very strong. There are strong Democratic voters throughout this district. And those Democrats are interested in a candidate that has a commitment to core Democratic principles. You know, look, I was in the state Senate for 10 years, as you know, and there are many, many distinctions between Congressman Neal and myself. And, you know, let me just talk about three. Number one, during my time in the state Senate, and I was in the state Senate representing the Berkshire District for 10 years, during my time in the state Senate, my trademark was sticking up for consumers rather than the interests of the financial companies. I mean, from everything from auto insurance to mortgage lending, I was the guy fighting for consumer protection. But voters in this district deserve to know that Congressman Neal, on five separate occasions, supported the broad deregulation that occurred on Wall Street, which led, of course, to the collapse of the financial markets back in 2008. So there's one distinction. Number two, on the question of women's health care, you know, when I was in the state Senate, I fought very hard and stood with women to make sure they had unfettered access to health care and reproductive choice. But voters deserve to know that Congressman Neal has repeatedly voted to restrict women's access to health care and reproductive choice. That's an important distinction between the candidates here. Number three, on campaign finance, we've taken the time to actually build, as a centerpiece of our campaign, full transparency and full disclosure when it comes to campaign finance. But voters deserve to know that Congressman Neal, over the last 20 years, has taken more than $5 million from Wall Street banks, insurance companies, big corporations, and others in the PAC community. So these are strong, clear distinctions between the candidates in this race this year. And I'll tell you that as we move across this district, whether it's in the Berkshires or in Hampden County or all the way into southern Worcester County, as we work through this district and begin meeting voters, we hear, particularly in a progressive district like this one, that voters want to have a strong Democrat representing them, somebody that's committed to Democratic principles. I am that candidate. We're offering that alternative.
And what about what sets you apart from the other candidate in the race, Bill Shine?
I think, Bill, we welcome him to the race. I think he's a very important progressive voice in the race, and I look forward to debating the issues with him.
So what programs, federal programs, do you see are vital to Berkshire County and the people who live here? And if there was, the time where, unfortunately, where cuts had to be made, it's very tight financially in Washington right now, what programs would you maybe have to sacrifice in order to save others?
You cannot begin to substantially change the direction of this country fiscally without looking at the Defense Department. As you probably know, we have been spending an enormous amount of federal resources, both treasure and blood, in the Middle East. Iraq and Afghanistan come to mind, of course, immediately. I think we need to have a right-sized military. We remain committed to national security. But we have to be able to look at that particular portion of the federal budget if we're going to right-size the ship. You've had members of Congress from both parties going before the United States Congress and saying there are certain weapons programs that the Pentagon itself does not want and we can't afford, but somehow those programs continue to get through the United States Congress. So I think that one place you've really got to look is what's happening in the accounts for defense. And once you look there, then you can start talking about some other things.
The defense industry does have, that I'm aware of, a few industrial complexes around New England, particularly manufacturing for submarines like in Rhode Island and Connecticut and also Massachusetts. And there's a lot of jobs that are tied into those. So what would you say about, you know, the restructuring of the defense industry when a lot of jobs in this area of the country ultimately depend on them?
We can provide a very strong national defense more efficiently. You think about some of the things that Warren Buffett was saying over the last year. Buffett was talking about how you've got to make changes to the way we allocate federal resources. This doesn't necessarily mean you do less. It just means that you have to do smarter with the resources that you have. The United States right now is spending about 25% of GDP every year as a matter in the federal budget. We raise about 16 or 17% of GDP in revenue. Now, you don't have to know a lot about math to know that that's not going to work very well for very long. right? You've got to bring down the amount that you're spending, and you've got to bring up the amount of the revenue so you can match those two figures. So I think this is going to be part of a lengthy, difficult, and sometimes painful process that we have to go through in this country to make sure that we're providing all of the obligations that we have to seniors and to people that rely on our government, but at the same time, we do it in a fiscally prudent way.
You mentioned Warren Buffett. Does that mean you support President Obama's Buffett rule?
I do. I think that's moving in precisely the right direction. You know, keep in mind that the percentage of income that very, very high income earners in this country are paying in federal taxes is at the lowest point it's been since, gosh, the 1940s or 1950s. So I think that in order for us to really respond to the revenue requests that we're getting across the country, we've got to look at the Buffett rule. It makes a heck of a lot of sense to me.
What do you want to tackle?
Well, there are many things that I'll be working on when I get to Washington. Let me highlight one for you, right? Here in the United States, we lost 36% of our manufacturing capacity in the last 10 years. Now, manufacturing has changed. Certainly in the last 20, 25 years, it's become much more high-tech. It's become more technology-oriented. We have competition from China and Eastern Europe and, you know, parts of South America that we never had before. But the fundamental truth is that American manufacturing has to succeed if we as a country are going to succeed. So the first thing I'm going to do within the first 90 days that I'm in the United States Congress is I'm going to be filing a bill, and it's going to be that bill that will help us restore manufacturing in this country. And this will be across a broad spectrum of issues: trade, tax, labor, healthcare, retirement security. All of those things are going to be a part of it. But I just don't believe that we can bring back core middle-class American jobs unless we have a commitment to manufacturing, and I will bring that to Washington.
You know, what can that be done specifically? You said, you know, the core principles, such as bringing business to here in Pittsfield, the William Stanley Business Park, or other areas that have the potential to expand manufacturing,
sure,
but are struggling to attract the businesses that want to come in.
Sure. Well, you know, as you know, elements of the Tea Party have been working very hard to tear down a lot of the really good and fruitful programs we've had in government for years. One of them that has been on the attack block for the Tea Party has been the Research and Development Tax Credit. That's very, very important. We are probably never going to be making T-shirts and shoes again in the United States in any substantial number. But what we can do is invest in research and development so that the next iPad or the next great solar panel or the next widget, high technology widget, is developed in this country, is invented in this country, and ultimately is manufactured in this country. And you do that by having a commitment to research and development, whether it's based exclusively within a manufacturing setting or if it is developed in a university setting. I think we've got to have a commitment to R&D. It's got to come straight from Washington. And if we do that, I think we'll be fine when it comes to coming, you know, coming with developing the next great manufacturing boom.